Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to keep you long. I'm conscious of the time. But God gave me a word for today. Amen. And I believe that He really wants to minister into our hearts and lives. God is constantly wanting to do something new in our lives. Do you know one of the greatest deceptions and lies of the devil is when he can get us to believe that we just need to somehow sit tight. When he tries to make us think that Christianity is just carrying on today like I did yesterday. Because, you know, in Christ, he is constantly looking to do something new every single day. And you know, one of the things that I pray in most Sunday prayer meetings, whomever is preaching or leading worship, that we never settle into thinking that somehow where we've already attained is where we're supposed to stay. Amen? You know, God is wanting to do an ever-increasing transformational work in every single one of us. So the breakthrough I experienced yesterday, you know, God wants me to celebrate and rejoice in that, but he wants me to move on to more tomorrow. Amen. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. You know, God has more in store for you. God wants to take you onwards and upwards always. So never see Christianity as something where we give our lives to the Lord and then somehow we stay put. Amen. Amen. We're going on a journey and the destination is glory. And I don't mean glory in heaven. I mean glory on earth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you turn in your Bible? Gosh, you're quiet in this nation. I might go back to Uganda. If I say amen in Uganda or Kenya, the whole place shakes with the noise of the celebration. So let me try that again. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm sure nearly every single one of us in this place today will know this parable to a greater or lesser extent. If you've had any experience in church, Sunday school, practically anywhere. But God gave me a message for us from this today, and that's one of the things I loved. You know, there is no other book that you can read. And every time you read that page, you get something new out of it. Isn't it true? Find me another book on planet Earth where you can read the words in that book and receive something new each time you read it. You know, and if you're not getting that, let me encourage you to believe God for wisdom and revelation knowledge. Because it comes from heaven, and as we read his word, we can get something new every single time we go to his word. So just shut your eyes, and we're going to pray before we read. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word works. And I pray that your word would go forth today and penetrate every single heart, Lord God. Father, speak to us, I pray, in these few moments. And Lord God, I pray that each one of us, you would bring us back in a new way to you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And everyone said, hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Temi. Hallelujah. So in Luke 15, chapter 1, this is Jesus telling a parable. Verse 11, it says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them. He divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.'" You know, this story is of a young man. You know, he'd been in church. You know, this is a picture of our relationship with God. And this is a young man who'd known what it was to experience the blessings of, if you like, church. You understand? The family of God. This was about father and son's family living together. And this young man had known what it was to enjoy the blessing. You know, funnily enough, my son once said to me, he said, "Oh, Mummy, I wish I could look back at a time like you when my life was terrible. And then, you know, one day I got radically saved." You know, and I said, "No, you don't." And pretty quickly he agreed. You know, but this young man, he'd known the blessing of God and he'd been in church, but yet he went far away. You know, one of the things that the Lord showed me is that sometimes we can be sitting right in church and our hearts are far away. You know, we can be sitting right in the chair where we sat when we used to experience the outpouring of God's Spirit and we're in the exact same chair, but now our hearts are far away. And you know, the sad thing about it is, you see, the Bible says that the way of the unfaithful is hard. In Proverbs, the way of the unfaithful is hard. You know, it might feel easy at first. I remember when I backslid and I was still going to church on a Sunday and trying to make it all look good. Do you know, or is it just me? You know, trying to keep it all together for the public impression. You know, but really on the inside, I was drifting further and further away from God. And you see, this is how the devil does it. He makes the pleasures feel worth it, the momentary pleasures. You know, and so at first it feels like, oh, phew. Do you know what? I was fed up of all those rules, and suddenly the things that once felt like blessings, amen, the enemy starts to tell us the rules and regulations, you know, and we get drawn in, don't we? You know, thinking, oh, do you know, I didn't used to do that, but I'm just going to do it a bit. But it's all right, the grace of God. You know, and what the devil does is he tries to lure us out. You know, and it might not be, you know, for me, I mean, I backslid. You know, some people just backslide in heart. My body went too, you know. Thank the Lord for his mercy. You know, but whether it's heart or whatever it is, you know, the enemy has one goal for our lives. Well, three. He wants to kill, destroy, and steal. He's looking to steal your destiny. He's looking to steal your marriage. He's looking to steal your joy. Do you know you never get joy when things aren't right on the inside? You never get joy. Do you know, you can be happy, you can be high, but you don't get joy. You know, and Satan's after our destinies. He's after our joy. He's after our families. He's after our children. He's after it all. And so he always tries to pull our hearts away. And this is what happened to this young man. And you see, what did he do? You see, out of the love and goodness of God, he makes sure, you know, when I backslid, oh, my life was dark. Why am I saying that? You see, when he's got a plan and a purpose for your life, God will make sure that sin isn't too nice for too long. Honest truth. I remember testifying. Please, you know, it sounds an odd thing to tell you, but I remember testifying in church the Sunday after our daughter died. She died 4 days earlier. And I stood there and I said, all I can tell you is, although my heart has been broken, this is not as dark as when I backslid. The sense of God's presence and his love and his goodness was stronger 5 or 4 days after my daughter died than in the midst of once Satan had really managed to pull me over the edge. Do you know what? If you're on the edge, pull back. If you're on the edge, refuse to dive in. That's what he's looking to do. He'll say a little here, a little there. It feels good. And what he's trying to do is to trap us and pull us in. He's constantly throwing sexual temptation. Constantly. He's constantly throwing the pleasures of life temptation. The temptations to allow our hearts to grow cold towards God. But whenever we follow that way, honestly, we never have that joy that Jesus died to give us. Amen? So here we have this young man. And, you know, life got tough. And so he suddenly thinks, oh my goodness me. You know, there's got to be something better than this. And he decides, he thinks, goodness me, do you know what? Home feels pretty good after all. You know, home suddenly looks like a great place. You know what? Suddenly the love of family suddenly feels like a good thing. Do you know what? When we grow old, you know, family is all people ever really want near them, isn't it? You know, and here, this young man suddenly realizes he's in want, he's hit rock bottom, and so he makes a decision, I'm going to go back. And this is the very word that God has really given me for us today. It says, I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. And then this, verse 19. He comes to his father and he says these words. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, many people in my house feel like that. You know, we mess up, don't we? You know, and I sensed God saying there are some, and because of your connections with pornography, you know, you still love God, and so you're always in the house, but you see yourself as a servant. You know, and sometimes we mess up in certain areas of our lives, and then in those areas we think, well, I just need to behave like a servant from now on. I really got it wrong, so forget being a son, a daughter, I'm a servant. But you know what the Lord said to me? Do you know what? You and I, we weren't worthy to be called his son because of our own behavior in the first place. Are you hearing me? It wasn't my righteousness that made me worthy to be a daughter of God ever. It was the righteousness of Jesus. It wasn't my good behavior that made Jesus say, do you know what? I'm going to save this one and I'm going to make her a princess. Amen? It was the goodness of God that drew me to repentance. You know, and I was reminded of this story of this couple. And I think this is going to help you understand the message that I believe the Lord is wanting to communicate today. And this is a few years back, maybe 5, 6 years back. I spoke to a couple and I said, look, we've got some marriage counseling needs to be done over here. And I said, this couple haven't yet got a revelation about waiting to be married for sex. Okay? I said, so I'd really love it if you could just work with this couple on just helping them to really get an inside understanding and value on purity and on waiting. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. But you know what the response was of the man? He turned to me and he went, oh. Now, this man had been married at least 10 to 12 years. He said, oh, I'm not sure that I feel qualified for that. I said, why? He said, well, you know, me and my wife, before we got married, are you hearing? I am no longer worthy to be called your son. In that area, that couple, or particularly the husband, he was carrying around in his heart some sort of sense of being unworthy still 12 years into his marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I don't get to preach righteousness because I'm righteous all the time. I don't get to go and share the gospel with the lost because I always get it right. Are you hearing me? Yes. You know, there are areas in your lives where you've mucked up, but you're still a son. Yes. There are areas in your life where you've failed. You've gone back into the clubs. You've started flirting again with men, but you're still a daughter. And you know what? Until you really know you're a daughter, you can't live pure. Because it's out of that knowledge of who we really are in Christ that we can live the way he wants us to. Amen? Listen, let me share with you. I used to believe about myself that I would never. I used to think, when will I ever break out of these cycles? You know, as I backslid, I constantly tried to get back on track. And over about 5 years, I don't know how many times, I tried to get it right. But eventually the cycles broke. Amen? Do not stop trying. Or as I once saw it put, don't give up giving up. Don't give up giving up. Amen? Because you see, God looks at you. And he does for you what he did to that young man there. He says, this young man says to him, Dad, I'm not worthy to be a son. Let me just be a servant. Let me beat myself up every time I think about how I messed up. Let me somehow pay the price. Isn't that what we do? Let me pay the price of my mistakes. You know, isolate me a bit, Lord, because I don't deserve family right now. But what did God do? You see, he privately said to his dad, Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son, but if you'll just hire me as a slave. And his dad says, son, hang on there. And then he calls the people together. He calls his servants and he does something to that young man. You know, I once shared a message about honor, and honor is something that God clothes us with to protect our humanity, to cover our humanity, to dignify us. And that's just what the Father did. If you carry on scrolling through, Gifty, that would be wonderful. Verse 22. But the Father said to his servants, and he's now announcing this, bring out the best robe. He's saying, I'm going to reclothe my son with honor. I am going to cover up all that sense of inadequacy. And I'm going to clothe him with my glory. And then he says, and put a ring on his finger. That ring speaks of authority throughout the word. And he's saying, give him back his authority. He comes back as a son, not a slave. He comes back as one who can say, go here, go there, and others must go at his bidding. He gets his authority back. And then he says, and put sandals on his feet. He gets a mandate back straight from the Father. And I sense God saying this morning that many of you, you've thought that you can't fulfill the mandate that you know is on your life because of the mistakes you've made. And those mistakes have somehow made you feel unworthy to do the things that God has called you to do. But he's saying to you this morning, you are my son. You are my daughter. And right now I'm reclothing you with that rightful honor that my son died to give you. Right now I'm putting a ring back on your finger, which reminds you of the authority that I have given you in Christ Jesus. And I'm putting sandals on your feet. And I'm saying to you, know what? Don't listen to any lies from the devil again saying you're not worthy. Don't listen to his lies saying you messed up last night. So who are you to share this morning? Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that says, do you know what? You're just soiled goods. Because God says, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Please rise to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you so much that your mercies truly are new every morning. You know, sometimes I believe that because of our own human propensity to judge, our own human propensity to point the finger when another person messes up, we underestimate the mercy of God. Because the mercies of God are new every single morning. And right now, I don't know what the things are in your heart that maybe created that sense of unworthiness, of somehow not quite being good enough to do the things that you so desire to do, or to just call yourself a son or a daughter in the house of God. But right now, just shut your eyes and just everyone lift up your hands in God's presence. You know what the prodigal son did that was so wonderful is he didn't pretend. He didn't come back with just a great old story for his father. He came back in truth and sincerity, asking for mercy. And right now, if there are things in your hearts, I've asked everyone to lift their hands so that you don't feel singled out. But right now, in the presence of God, if there are things that you've done, places you've gone, things that have happened that have really caused that sense of unworthiness in your heart, right now, I just want you to speak to the Father about those things, that person or people linked to pornography. God is able to set you free. You've said in your heart that it's too big for you. But God is bigger than things that are bigger than you. And don't stop fighting this battle, because you're going to win the battle and you will come back to share the testimony. And through you, many others will be set free. So right now, just come to the Lord and just talk to him about the, if there's something that God's spoken to you about, maybe it's something really old and you realized you've carried a shame in that area. I messed up even before I got married. So who am I to teach purity? Oh, the Lord says, oh, maybe once your sins were as scarlet, but right now they're white as snow. Right now he is wiping away and cleansing every sense of shame and dirt and defilement. He's making you brand new in his presence. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And as you stand in the presence of God now, every one of us, I want you to picture your father coming to you and wrapping that robe, that best robe, not just any old robe, but his robe around you that represents not human honor, but his honor. He clothes you with his honor. And he puts a ring on your finger that symbolizes your authority. Not because you and me are great and deserve authority in our human righteousness. But because in Christ Jesus, he releases authority into your life and into mine. And in Christ Jesus, he wants to use us as sons and daughters that will bring healing and love and mercy to this world. And then now he puts sandals on your feet. And he says, my son, my daughter, this is your mandate. You can go. You can go and do the things in your heart to do, knowing that you have my seal of approval. You have, I believe in you, says the Lord. I believe in you because I do not judge you by your past. I look at you in the light of my son and your future. So, Father, right now, I thank you for your mandate that we receive today. Father, we rejoice, Lord God, in what you have clothed us with, in the authority you've given us, and we count it a privilege. We count it a privilege to go where you send us and to do what you call us to do. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Will you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah.